You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, a stunning number of people die each year as a result of medical mistakes. Plus, more people are getting hurt. Or worse, at football stadiums, you might be surprised to hear why. And the coolest festivals around the world with our travel guy. Let's meet the friends. He's wearing his paper papal tiara just for today's show. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, I have all of the latest dope on the Pope.
He's almost done checking in on his phone. I hope he leaves a good review. The host of the new show, Thresh Pie Radio, coming to a podcast near you. It's Ted Thresh Pie Pritchard.
So you understand that Yelp, if you know, a positive comment on Yelp can bump your business 5 to 9%. That's what they're saying. I've got a business that cannot be damaged one way or the other by Yelp comments.
Ooh, love to hear it. And if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a 5-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not checking in at Yelp, are reading your comments. They notice your 5-star reviews. And don't forget, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Let's get started. And hey, Chris, the Pope's in town and you got the dope.
The Pope is in town, or at least he's on his way into town.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little bit of this guy's schedule because to me it seems out of control. I don't know if any of us here in the studio would have the energy to do this.
So you got your priests, you got your bishops, then you got this guy, the Pope.
He's the guy.
Big Daddy.
I like when you referred to him as this guy.
This guy. This guy, the Pope. He comes into Washington today from Cuba at 4 p.m. Now, I'm assuming that's Eastern Standard Time, so I'm thinking his wheels are touching the ground right now.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, he's going to have a welcome ceremony and hold the massive canonization.
But does the Pope's plane's wheels actually ever touch the ground? It's a philosophical question for you. I'll leave that for the religious scholars.
It's a cloud.
I'm going to think about that one. After holding the massive canonization, Thursday he will address the joint session of the U.S. Congress.
Ooh.
That's a first, isn't it?
Well, this whole thing is a first.
Yeah.
I don't think the Pope's ever been to the United States.
Oh, sure we have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not for this, but for this type of...
You mean for political purposes?
Political, yes.
Diplomatic visit.
Diplomatic and political purposes.
Because John Paul was here in 1987, did a thing down at the a mud bog down at the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah? That sounds fun.
No, he was there. Seriously, yeah.
No,
oh,
that's cool.
Yep.
So, okay, so Friday, then, he will visit the UN, the United Nations, to address the General Assembly. And then head over to Madison Square Gardens.
A lot of Catholics in that UN General Assembly, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And
don't you think?
A lot of Muslims, too.
Right, yes. He's appealing to a much larger audience than
and
just
Catholics.
And
you are right. He would be the first ever to address Congress.
I believe so. I thought I did hear that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the first to do a mud run.
No,
we
sir.
Know that.
No.
Saturday, he's going to head to Philadelphia for Mass at the Cathedral Basilica. And then head over for a visit to Independence Hall. And Sunday, he will head home after meeting with all the bishops, holding Mass, and visiting with organizers of the World Meeting of Families.
You know what? Why people like this Pope? I think I know why.
Go ahead.
Why do you think? Because he's one of the most popular popes ever, and he hasn't been pope that long.
I think he's a little bit more liberal than most previous popes.
I don't think
popes.
There's any question about
yes.
that.
So but there's some of that appeal.
That's a little of it. But I think personality-wise, it looks like a cheerful guy. And and cheerful is something that maybe is missing from a lot of religion. And
sure.
You get the sour face people that tend to be running the show.
Right.
And this guy is happy, doesn't have a care in his life, and whenever somebody talks to him, he listens with a smile on his face, and then he has an uplifting message as a solution with a smile on his face.
Yeah, he carries his own bags, he sleeps on the couch.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of people who were part-time Catholics or maybe considering re-upping their membership card, and they're going to start going more frequently.
Well, perhaps, but he's also controversial, because he's like Chris was saying, he's a little more liberal, say a lot more liberal than what most popes
are. Or you could say inclusive.
Okay, inclusive is a nice word, but
wants people who think that maybe they don't belong, that the church doesn't want them to belong. He's helping them understand that, we do. We have some issues to iron out, but we want you to come over.
Everyone
and let's talk
is
about
forgiveness.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
But he's not. But the other thing is, and the reason why I think he maintains such a large audience is he's not so liberal that he lets go of the foundation of the Catholic faith. Like, he still holds strong to their thoughts on birth control and some of the other main things that Catholics look to as this is what we are, this is what we know. So he's doing a good job of bridging the gap.
Exactly. All right. Well, it's always interesting to see. And will he cruise around without plexiglass, bulletproof plexiglass?
Oh, no, I bet they got the full thing going on. You got the Pope Mobile.
They do?
Oh, yeah, man. It's got rocking, like, 2-inch glass on that thing.
But he's made a point in visiting other countries where he said he didn't want that. He wants to walk around and touch people.
Well, okay. Yeah. I was in England and saw Pope John Paul, and he came out on a little mezzanine. I'll be quick. The Phil's looking at me. Oh, God, Jesus, shut up. And what I remember most about it, he comes out and he starts waving, "Hello, everyone, how are you?" And it does that with the microphone.
Yeah.
And there's a little sort of Cockney lady going by, and she's got this big thing. Looks like the girls sold cigarettes in the nightclubs, you know, thing out in front, you know,
right.
with a strap around her neck. And she's selling flag of the Pope, 50p.
Yeah,
flag of the Pope, 50p.
Right
Pope
there,
plates.
You can hear
Pope
it on the microphone.
Plates. Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And Secret Service took her down.
No, hell no. They let her sell her flags of the Pope.
And I'm sure there will be plenty of those different things that you can buy while he's in town too.
Yeah.
Pope on a rope. And
yeah,
all
Pope
that.
On a rope.
Get one of those hats. Like the one Chris has today. All right. Now, the Pope addressing Congress, it may be a good thing. It may also be a sign of the end of the world.
Yeah, there's potential for that because it's not just the Pope coming to the United States this weekend, but there's another major event. If you ask doomsayers, there's several major events, but the other big one that is astrological is a super blood moon is going to be happening this Sunday, the 27th, for us here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare because this is a full moon that's also going to be a total lunar eclipse. So the sun's rays are going to shine over the earth during the eclipse, and it's going to turn the moon blood red.
Nice.
And not only that, the moon is actually at its closest point of perigee, which is the opposite of apogee, meaning close, not far away. It's the closest point to the earth that it will be all
so close
year.
You can almost touch it.
It's going to be larger because of that, too. It's actually going to appear larger to us.
So does it make people crazy? Do werewolves come out?
Well, you know, there is truth to that, Thrash. There really is. You know why? Because you know how full moon makes the waves rise a little bit higher?
Yeah.
The tides come a little bit higher?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, your body is something like 70%+ water. So if it's going to make the water in the ocean rise to a higher level, don't you think it makes the water in your body also rise to a higher level, thereby causing some form of discomfort?
Water
and
on
then
the
you
brain?
Turn into a werewolf?
A werewolf, of course. Yeah, the only way to...
And after 4 hours, you call your doctor?
Yes.
Maybe finally the swelling in my ankles will go away.
Right. Okay, so here, let me give you a little bit more on this. The final lunar eclipse. This final lunar eclipse will be the last one in a string of four known as a tetrad. Miraculously, all four blood moons have landed directly on Jewish holidays, those being Passover and Sukkot, prompting some... to, you know, prophesize the sign of end times.
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So we had two last year.
Today.
We had two last year. We had two this year. All four of them full moons. All four of them blood moons. And this has only happened 3 times in the past 1,000 years. This will be the 4th time. All 3 times previously that it happened. Something very significant has happened on the planet.
Yeah.
You know,
tonight,
it's all
tonight
relative.
Tonight is Yom Kippur.
There you go.
Yeah.
Correct.
So there you go. Isn't it? Yes, it is.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You have school today?
No. Yes, I did.
You did.
I did, but it's tonight. It's at sundown.
Yeah, right. So I wonder if it's tomorrow.
And then you fast for a 25-hour period.
Right, but I was wondering, I've forgotten because my son's not in school anymore, but the public school, we had Yom Kippur off.
Right. Now, your son, is he Jewish?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
But he'll take the day off.
Sure he will.
Okay.
Of course. Any excuse.
Real quick, by the way, on Sunday night, the viewing starts at 6:58 here on the West Coast at
night.
Wait
a minute. Is it football on at
10 o'clock
time?
On the East.
Is that gonna
oh, yeah. Good point.
Screw up my
Sunday
NFL
night football
watching,
is going to mess up the moon's ratings.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, well. Hey, now, if you were served a beer and you thought it tasted like urine, would you go straight to Yelp? Well, we have those reviews and more from people that you wouldn't expect to be leaving Yelp reviews next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
All right, how many of you have destroyed somebody's business because they treated you poorly and you left a bad Yelp review with some fairly pointed photographs that became the... And when you do this in Yelp, it becomes the actual company photograph, and they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're you know, they're coming under a lot of scrutiny about their business model is screwy.
Yeah.
You know, they sell advertising with people out on the street knocking on doors and saying, we'll set up your account and blah, blah, blah. We'll service it for you and all this. I've never left a Yelp comment or what do you call it, review. Have you, Phil?
Yes, plenty.
Really?
Mostly good ones, but I have attempted to destroy a moving company.
Oh, okay. See, I've never done it, and having never done it, I've looked at them.
Yes.
I've looked at the reviews, mostly for restaurants, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you find my account in Yelp, by the way, just look for Phil Hewlett in Yelp, and you'll see the funny reviews of the moving company.
Oh, okay.
and the photographs.
All right.
And you'll say, wow, I'm never using them. But then all the other people that reviewed them, too. If there was a way to do less than one star...
Well,
you know, negative stars.
So if the guys are smart, they'll read those, maybe take a hint.
No, what they did is they changed the name of their company.
Oh, that- same guys.
Yeah, same
Huey,
guys.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway, back. We're interrupting your story.
These guys, you know, you would never think that, you know, some people, in particular this group of people, would even know about Yelp or have access to the internet. I'm talking about prisoners.
Yeah.
In the California prison system.
Those guys are on Yelp?
And they're leaving Yelp reviews.
No,
ready? Here's one for, it's a two-star review of San Quentin. And the guy is anonymous. He says, it's bad food, the steak is tough, and the beer tastes like pee. So go figure this. First of all, they're getting steak.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn how tough it is.
Right.
And he's also getting beer. He's
what?
Getting steak and a beer.
I mean, yeah, that's the amazing part. how do you get beer? Well, it isn't beer. It tastes like pee. It probably is pee.
It probably is. But yeah. Guys outside filling up those Corona bottles, yeah. Like we heard those rumors about years ago.
Yeah.
All right, so here's one from Rikers Island in New York. It's a famous prison. You always hear about it on TV.
You're
going to Rikers. You're going to Rikers tonight. It's
yeah.
You know, it's all you can eat night. One star, and this guy says, and it's about the place in general. It says the whole place smells of body odor.
Well, yeah, you'd expect that.
And there's rainbow colored bologna.
Ooh, well, you'd expect that too.
Oh, God. But the best one is here's the best one.
And he is talking about cold cuts, right?
He's talking about just bologna in general. I don't want to see somebody's rainbow bologna.
No.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Not at all. No.
I'd have to look once.
Keep that thing zipped up.
Not even with condiments.
Keep it in the Ziploc, please. So here's a guy named Uno from Rikers Island, and he says, here, it's the best place in the world if you say you're Jewish. Every week you get a matzah, which is, you know, like a cracker.
Yeah.
Crackers.
Uh-huh.
And a bottle of grape juice. And you get to talk to the rabbi, who's a really nice guy, who lets you use his phone.
No kidding.
I gotta love it.
That's great.
You gotta love it. So if one really good positive review can bump your business 5 to 9%, which is what I've heard.
Yeah.
So what happens when you give your prison a bum rap? Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
I think we expect it to be
You're
a
still
going to
have the same amount of customers, that's for
what
sure.
What if you could say, you know, Rikers is great, man.
Yeah.
Steaks, beer, it's great. Can't wait to get into Rikers. What do? You get a bump in population there?
Yeah, right.
Guys killing themselves, pardon me, to get in?
Right.
Well,
hopefully
whatever.
Not to get out either.
Whatever.
When were the VMAs? The Video Music Awards, MTV's deal. That was the beginning of this month, was it not?
I forget, and I don't watch them. Sorry.
Now, if there are any guarantees in life, they are that the sun will rise tomorrow.
One.
The sun will set tomorrow.
Two.
And if Miley Cyrus is on the VMAs, the FCC is going to get flooded with complaints.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a given that it's strange anyone would tune in expecting anything different, but it's also weird that anyone would actually take the time to write a letter to the FCC. But it is the dynamic in some people's
lives. They write a letter?
Oh, yeah. Well, the FCC is, they are a regulatory organization, but they are complaint-based. They don't look at anything unless somebody complains about it.
Well, you know, we were real lucky here when we were at that little heavy metal station, which was considered to be just, you know, off the charts, crazy, disgusting.
Right.
Because in Long Beach, the FCC office was right across the street.
And the songs that were played...
Kill the Unborn in the Womb.
Were very often unedited.
Yes, the Pope just landed.
And F-words in the songs.
They're terrible, but not one peep out of them the whole time we were there.
No. Anyway, here are a few of the highlights from this year's Miley Cyrus FCC complaints.
Great.
Not from her, but from other people. Here's one. Quote, Miley Cyrus is a very troubled child, and I cannot believe that she was able to get away with this on this show. Seems like she is in the news everywhere doing disgusting, perverted, and lewd things. It's a disgrace to all young girls and boys. I do not condone this and will not let my boys see this trash in my home. That's one of the letters.
Where's her next concert?
Right. Yeah. We're going.
Right. And I'm starting, after I read these, I'm thinking, man, I missed out on.
Yeah, well, what
should I watch the VMAs? Because listen to this. Miley Cyrus's outfits were over the top, but the view of her naked breast was just obscene. I understand that she wants publicity, but I do not want to see her breasts. My 19-year-old son complained as well.
Well, she had a wardrobe malfunction.
Well, wait, what's the matter with the 19-year-old son? What was he complaining about?
He was raised right, Phil. There's nothing wrong with that young man.
No, I think what it was properly. That it was naked breast, singular, and then he complained that there was not a pair to go with it.
It wasn't plural.
Mm. Yeah. Here's one more for you. I tuned in with my minor sister, who's I guess that means that she's younger than 18.
What state was that? The age of consent?
I don't know. Anyway, my minor sister, who considers Miley her role model.
Whoa.
I have one question for you, speaking to the FCC. What kind of pornographic display of indecency was that? Miley wore barely any clothing and even flashed her breasts. I find this absolutely disgusting that this was allowed on national television.
Was it? Or was it cable or was it national TV?
Well, it was MTV is all over the country, isn't it? It's all over the world for that matter.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's cable.
Yeah. Cable's nationally televised, though.
But it's not network is what I'm saying. It's not a broadcast.
Are there
is it?
Naked breasts on Game of Thrones?
Unfortunately, no.
Yes,
what?
There are.
What are you talking about?
Are you kidding? I don't watch Game of Thrones.
It's a soft porn.
Okay.
And it's on cable.
Well,
it's
that's Miley. HBO, though. HBO's a sort of R-rated channel.
But but you got to pay to get HBO. So you said, I don't have HBO, so that's why I didn't
you don't
see the
have
porn.
To. Well, you pay indirectly to get MTV.
Okay.
If you didn't have a cable set
well, that's
up,
what I mean. But
then you wouldn't get MTV.
But aren't the rules different for cable casts as opposed to, you know, over the air?
Sure.
Okay.
Apparently so.
There you go.
After what Miley got away with.
So this was an intentional wardrobe malfunction.
Yes.
All right. I'm down.
While we're talking about places where they used to play music videos, what's the place that's known for music videos these days? It's YouTube, right?
Sure.
And YouTube, Vimeo's coming up on their tail.
Vimeo, yes. That's right. But people spend a lot of time watching music videos on their phones. And who was that that Korean dude who had that big, what was it, Gangnam Style?
Kim Jong-il.
Gangnam Style, something like that.
Psy, was that his name?
That's right. Psy with a P.
Has anybody ever done as well as he did with all the views that he got in his video?
Well, no. Nobody's reached the height that he's reached because Gangnam Style now is the first video to ever reach 2 billion views.
That cat made it like millions over here and then right back to Korea.
Yeah.
See you later.
Right.
Well, yeah,
I
think his second album didn't do so well. And so
there was a follow-up to
decided
Gangnam
to make
Style.
A quick exit.
Yeah.
But yeah, while Psy was the first one in 2012 to have a YouTube video with over a billion hits,
ooh,
since then, 8 more videos have broken through. By the way, all of these videos are hit music videos. So this is the place. That's the platform to launch music videos.
Not MTV.
No. So you get, what happens is people like me who never would watch a video on YouTube, I go and then now, oh, hey, there's cool videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
So now it makes more sense to me that, you know, there are other acts with billions of hits.
Yes. Like who, Chris?
Billions
of views. Well, these are all names that you'll know. But I just want you to know, a billion views on YouTube is hitting unicorn status, by the way.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So no more platinum or gold, or diamond. You're now unicorn status. Oh. In order from oldest to newest of latest billionaire hits on YouTube, Meghan Trainor, all about that bass.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
Enrique Iglesias, Bailando.
That makes sense. Enrique.
Katy Perry's on there twice with Dark Horse and Roar.
She should be target practice.
Taylor Swift is on there twice with Blank Space and Shake It Off. Justin Bieber's Baby is on there. And finally, the maybe the only song on the list I like, Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk, was the
Bruno Mars is
latest.
He's a great performer. I like him.
Yeah,
like
I heard he's going to be doing the halftime show at Super Bowl.
I'm hoping that Keyshawn Johnson will be following Justin Bieber around for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know what? That is, speaking of the Super Bowl thing, look, I'm sorry. I know Super Bowl activities appeal to a wide range of people. But this seems way out of the core demographic. According to a British tabloid report, One Direction is being considered for the halftime show along with Coldplay. They'd be joining Bruno Mars, who's already been asked, according to you, to curate the show, by the way. So, 1D, I don't know who that is, will supposedly use the performance
One
to say
Direction,
goodbye to their
Phil.
Fans. Oh, is that
One
who
D,
that is?
Yeah.
I thought it was a dude.
Wow.
What do I know?
1D.
And they're taking an extended break sometime. Oh, gosh, the hard work that those poor young boys are being forced to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, coming up next, we will be talking about something, I promise. Oh, Burning Man and Tintern Festival have become too big and commercial.
Yeah.
And there are some quirky, perhaps much more fun options out there. And our travel guy runs through them for you next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. We're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Tad and Chris are here today. And have you guys been to festivals recently? Have you gone to any of those? We're old men now. Chris, you're closer to the demographic. Have you gone to a festival?
I want to go, but they do seem a little bit excessive.
Yeah, because you
got a lot of people, man.
You got to go out there and be prepared for the long haul. And very often what that involves is stripping naked and rolling around in mud with complete strangers.
Yeah, and where are you going to sleep? How are you going to eat and drink the whole time?
Stand in line at the outhouse. And but you apparently make good friends that last for a couple of weeks.
The best kind.
Yes. Yeah. Great friendships. Joining us live now is our travel guy, Gary Warner, who knows a thing or two about these. And he's had it with Burning Man. He's had one too many things singed. And he's he's with us.
Like, you guys were talking about Coachella there. You know?
Oh, maybe Coachella. Yeah, man, yeah. I couldn't do it. Too hot out there, man.
Yeah, but just the same. I mean, there's that. What else? There's the Tintern Festival. What's the one that they have?
Glastonbury Festival. Yeah.
What's the one that they have at Golden Gate Park each year up in the San Francisco area?
Weed Fest or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, anyway,
they have the Beta Breakers race, which is a very short run, and everybody like runs in funny costumes or in Chinese dragons or things like that.
Yeah. Now, not all the festivals are music related festivals. They're festivals concepts and things and imagery and all that sort of thing. And so, where do we start, Gary? Take us around the world.
What I wanted to talk about was kind of some of my favorite festivals, some that I've been to, some that I haven't been to. Just because they're either sublime or they're so silly, and the crowds aren't quite as crushing at most of these as they would be at, say, Carnival in Brazil or Burning Man. If you've ever seen an aerial photograph of the last few Burning Man events, it looks like, you know, this massive trailer park out in the middle of the desert. So, you know, I'm going to start out with one in Japan, a nice one, and then we'll finish with one in Japan that's probably one of the weirder ones around.
Okay.
And the first one in Japan is the Sapporo Snow Festival. And it's held up in the north end of the country. And what's great about it is that they build these huge carved ice sculptures. I mean, you're talking about 2-3 stories tall of famous buildings. They usually have a theme, you know, busts of Mozart, you know, Mickey Mouse. And that a lot of the stuff at one of the big centers, there's three places that have this thing going on in Sapporo, everything is put together by the army. Can you imagine in the United States, you know, some general going to the army guys and saying, okay, for the next month, your job is going to be making snow buildings.
Well, but, you know, World War II had something to do with the mission of the Japanese army.
It's not even an army. It's the self-defense force.
Yes, exactly. So I can see it happening there.
It's just an awesome festival. Plus, Sapporo, as you know, some people may have heard that name, is a great beer town.
Oh, yeah.
And so they have beer and barbecue, hot sake sold on the streets, and then these just amazing ice sculptures. I mean, they're just huge and intricate. And what's so cool about it is that, like a sand sculpture, they're meant to eventually just melt away.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know,
temporary art.
Temporary art. It's very, very cool.
Okay, now, next up.
Well, we'll mention one. This one, I'm going to go through this one fast because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and that's La Tomatina in Valencia, Spain.
Oh, yeah.
It's the world's biggest tomato fight.
Yeah. You know? yeah.
And that, it started out as a small town thing. There are a lot of festivals in Italy where they have these like paper mache heads and they march through the streets. And some kids, like after World War II, started throwing some tomatoes at the people who were in the paper mache festivals. Mm-hmm. And they started throwing tomatoes back and they all began running into the grocery store and throwing at each other. And this has evolved over the years as first the church and then the city and then the state and then the National Tourism Office took this thing over into this massive, it's like the vegetarian running of the bulls.
When does this happen, by the way? Do you know?
It's during the summer, and it just happened fairly recently.
You should put that on your calendar and go to the produce store and stock up the week or two before this, because after the fact, this is getting so big, prices of tomatoes probably skyrockets.
Well, and also part of it is that you have to pay an admission fee now. That's the way they keep the crowds down, a little bit like Burning Man.
Yeah,
and
keep the riffraff out.
And usually I think you have to buy the tomatoes there. Ooh. So, you know, right. I mean, maybe if you bought some of your own tomatoes because you wanted to get them involved in an international.
Well, you say tomato. I say tomato.
I say tomato.
All right. Take us somewhere else.
Another one I mentioned before, Tunarama in Australia.
Tunarama.
Down in South Australia. That one's January 23rd of 2016. And it celebrates everything tuna. In Australia, but my favorite part is, besides the Miss Tuna contest, of course, the tuna throw. They basically, like, if you've ever seen those hammer throws in the Olympics where they go around and around and around and around,
right.
They throw it, they get these big, huge tunas, and they grab them by the tail, and these big muscular guys and girls, they whirl and whirl, and then they throw this dead tuna, you know.
Well, it's nicer than having to do a dwarf toss.
Yeah, are they fishmongers, or are they just big, strong people?
They're big, strong people, you know.
I think of some of the places where the fishmongers toss the tuna in your general direction when you purchase one. Yeah.
Oh, like up in Seattle.
Yeah.
Pike Place Market, yeah. Then Holi Festival, which is in India, and that's where everyone gets dappled in these bright colored sands.
I've seen that.
You know, you got to wear goggles, otherwise you're going to get some of that stuff in your eyes and start crying.
Yeah. Well, people are throwing it
like crazy.
Like La Tomatina, they say it's really great to photograph, except for the fact that you can't keep your lens clean.
Right.
Yeah. But that's just a really psychedelic festival, and it's a great one. The final one is something that's just so bizarre, from Japan, the land of the bizarre festival, and that is the Kanamori Matsurai. Matsurai means festival, and it's held in Kawasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And this festival, people dress up in traditional Japanese clothing and carry these huge carriages on their shoulders around of giant carved penises.
The penis parade.
Yeah.
The penis parade, right. It's basically a fertility festival that goes way back. And it's one of those things I always wanted to write about, but since I was the travel editor for a family newspaper, really wasn't something I could mention it every now and then, but it really wasn't something I could say, hey, let's get a photographer and go over and see the...
It's just Japan showing the rest of the world how evolved they are. This is how comfortable we are with penis.
And they're just getting fraternities over there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But it's just...
Fertility. Fertility.
Oh, fertility, oh, oh. Yeah.
Fraternity.
Japan and Australia, I think, have the best collection of festivals. They have some really weird ones. I mean, Thailand has the monkey buffet where they go to this monkey temple and they put out all this food, and the monkeys mostly throw it and throw their own feces and stuff like that. But,
Wow.
there's There's a baby jumping festival in down in Central America.
Wait, the babies jump, or do people jump on
the
babies?
They lay down like four or five babies in a row.
I could clear way more than four babies.
Oh, like the old barrel jumping thing in the Olympics, in the Olympics back
and
in the day.
And the big cheese rolling in, I think it's in Ireland or Scotland, where they take these big, huge cheeses and they roll them down the
hill. Why don't we combine all of these? Why don't they roll the giant penis sculpture down the hill and have the baby jumper guys jump over them as they come in their general direction?
Well, that sounds like a good fertility festival to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely to talk with you as usual, Gary. Just spectacular stuff. And continue traveling around the world. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, you take care.
All right, there he goes. Right. Now, does it...
that's I don't strange, know about Gary sometimes.
Yeah, me too. But hey, we went to Spain and Australia, India and Japan.
The penis festival.
Does it seem more... these days, that more people are falling and getting hurt or worse at football stadiums? Why do you think that is? Is it the alcohol? Is it the stadium design? Who's at fault and who's responsible? An attorney who's represented lots of people who've been injured at stadiums joins us next to talk about it right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. After a few beers at the stadium, you know, you're up in the cheap seats. You know who you are.
Right.
Do you worry about falling down those steep concrete stairs or over the railing? I know I have. God forbid you fall over that railing to your certain death, perhaps. You are right to worry because it happens a lot. And it seems like it's happened a lot recently. Joining us live is a noted Dallas attorney who has a background in these sorts of mishaps, Frank Branson. Welcome, sir.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks. Even better now that you're here. How often does something like that happen?
As you indicated from the papers, it seems to happen more often today than it has in the past.
Yeah. And there have been a couple, you mentioned the papers, there have been a couple of incidents just in the last few months, if I'm not mistaken.
There have, and basically the answer to your question is the duty owed by a sports team or sports facility to the public will be the state law of the state where the team's playing. For example, California may be significantly more helpful to the victim than the law of Texas would be.
Now, when you say helpful to the victim, is this after the injury or during the construction of the stadium?
Well, I think it, again, it makes the laws governing them are state laws for each of our individual states.
Yeah.
For example, when I got your call, I called Tom Girardi, who tried that case involving the parking lot. I think it was at L.A. Stadium, where a man was beaten to death.
Oh, Dodger Stadium.
Yes. He indicated the duty in California is that of a business invitee. That is, you owe the individuals who are purchasing tickets a right to be reasonable and prudent in avoiding injury to them.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he also indicated that it's hard to get these waivers that you see on the back of the tickets to stand up in California.
Mm-hmm.
Other states are much more restrictive in what the victim can do if they've signed a waiver. Some states, for example, require what they call conspicuousness doctrine, where you, for any waiver to be valid, it would have to be in bold caps on the back of the waiver.
Yeah.
And basic rule being, you can't can't hide in the fine print a waiver of liability before right. liability.
And incidentally, a judge granted a hefty fee. The Dodgers had to pay $15 million in civil damages to San Francisco Giants fan Brian Stowe. Yeah. After he was beaten in the parking lot. And the two guys that did the beating or were convicted of doing the beating were sent off to prison for
Correct.
A long time.
Now
it should be. And yeah. the victim had a good lawyer. I've known Jordy a long time.
Yeah. Now the design of the stadiums. I wonder if the kind of design where we pack all the fans up in the cheap seats at a pretty extreme angle in many cases or slope, where you can fall down the concrete steps or perhaps over a railing trying to reach for a ball, or maybe you're just leaning over and somebody walks through and excuse me, pardon me, and whoa, and you go over the side. And there's a lot of alcohol being willfully drunk, of course, by the people who purchase it, but also sold. And so there's a lot of people that are potentially responsible for all this. But I guess the question I'm interested in, I mean, here in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles market, there are talks about building three, maybe four different football stadiums.
Right.
And not sure ultimately how many will be built, but is the design these days influenced by what you're dealing with here with these cases, with the injuries? And if not, what do you hope will get built into the construction plans to make things safer?
Certainly, safety of the customers coming to the games should be built in. And I think the architect on up owe a duty to be reasonable and prudent when they're designing these stadiums. I just finished a case a couple of years ago where Dallas Cowboys had a practice facility that was a cloth-covered metal building. And on windy days or rainy days, they would practice in this facility. And it collapsed one day in a windstorm and broke the neck of one of the coaches and broke the back of one of the scouts. And I represented them. And getting involved in that case, you got to see a lot of what went into or should have gone into the architect and the construction stadium that wasn't there. But there was no question there was a duty on behalf of the people, of the general contractor, the architect, and several other people in this instance, to protect the people who are going to be in it on a windy day.
Is there anything that can be done? I suppose it would be at the huge expense of the ownership or whoever it is that owns, in many cases, the cities own the stadiums. But should be done with the existing stadiums that are out there, that there's no plans to build new stadiums?
Well, you can, first of all, some of them may not be brought up to building code standards. There are some national building codes that are adopted by most cities and counties, and sometimes these stadiums are grandfathered or haven't been required by the governing structure or governance structure to bring them up to current city codes, building codes. That would be a big help.
Yeah.
Number two, in designing a new stadium, if they don't look at the ergonomics of the situation, they're asking for someone to be seriously injured or killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's just pick one out of the blue sky. Oakland Coliseum. If you're 6'4" and you're walking around, there are some old copper pipes where they used to deliver the beer. They don't do it that way anymore, through the walls, sticking out anywhere from 1 to 3 feet. And if you're 6'3" or 6'4" and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and you're not paying attention, you could hit your head on a copper pipe. That's just one example of what the Oakland Coliseum, which is not the most luxurious coliseum in the NFL, but perhaps it should have been replaced about 15, 20 years ago, but just the same, it's still there. And it seems to me like that particular place is maybe not the only one that needs to be replaced in a hurry, but it could be rife with potential injuries for people that buy a ticket. And, when they buy that ticket and it's implied they've signed away their rights in the event that they do get injured. So what do we do with all these old buildings?
I agree with you. It sounds to me like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to look at, again, the state law, in this case, California, and you kind of, the law kind of breaks it out generally in two different sections. Is it an action that takes place in the sports arena, And is it a conduct that when you go to the hockey game, you are assuming the risk of, for example, getting hit with a puck or a line drive down third baseline, or is it a premises defect? In this particular instance, it sounds like a premises defect.
Yeah.
In most states, the owner of the facility owes a duty to a business invitee to be reasonable and prudent.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly that would include, I've never suffered from the disability of being 6'4".
Right.
It certainly would include protecting 6'4" people.
Yeah, right, of course. Now, and you mentioned hockey. The NHL took steps. They raised the plexiglass around the rink so that the puck is less likely to go into the audience, and they erected huge nets on the end zone areas. And I wonder if, and you mentioned baseball, I wonder if at some point in the near future, baseball stadiums will uniformly put up netting beyond where it is at the backstop now, all the way down past the dugout area on the left and right field lines, first and third base.
One would hope the league or the individual clubs would take their fans into consideration when they build or change the design of the stadium to protect people as best they can. And certainly baseball has been aware of the danger of line drives, injuries from foul balls for a long time.
Yeah.
And netting is a very minimal price to pay.
Sure, yeah.
To keep the fans coming back.
The law offices of Frank L. Branson, Dallas attorney. Thank you, sir. Nice conversation to have, and hopefully your efforts and just a little bit of awareness will affect some change here in the near future.
Thank you, Phil. Take care.
All right, you too. All right, so what do you think, guys? Would you like sitting in behind the dugout and have net in front of you, or do you expect the ball to just come at you at so fast that your hand-eye coordination can't even put it up and stop the ball?
I'm always hesitant to buy tickets down that low because you always see a foul ball going that way, a line drive going that way, or a bat flying off into there. I like mezzanine. That's just me. I like to be up. You know, I like being on the third base side. You know, you got a lot of right-handed batters.
A friend of mine who's actually been on this show, the soda guy, Danny Ginsberg, was sitting first baseline at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
They had to stop the game and take him out on a stretcher on the field.
Shut up!
He was sitting right there on the one side of the dugout, got hit right in the head.
With a ball.
With one of those foul balls, which I think maybe they go faster than the balls that go out into the fair area.
Yeah. Right. You're not ready. You're done.
Yeah.
Did the player sign it and give it back to him?
At least? They gave him a pair of tickets to come back for another game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. And I can sit right here again.
Yeah, what are the chances of it happening twice?
Lightning.
Yeah. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. It's gone by in a hurry. There's so much more coming up, including, did you watch the Emmys?
Huh?
What was that? Apparently not a lot of people did. We'll delve into exactly why. And also, you might be hesitant to book yourself into that hospital for that elective surgery when you hear what we have to tell you about medical mistakes and how many people die every year.
Whoa.
That and more when Phil Hewlett and Friends returns.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, maybe you missed it, but the ratings are in for the Emmy Awards telecast. Medical mistakes kill a lot of people each year. No, really, a lot of people. The Muppets are back. Do you even care? And we have Trump tweets.
Yeah.
Just say it three or four times fast. Trump tweets, Trump tweets, Trump tweets, Trump tweets. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin and Ted Pritchard are here today. They're the friends. And we'll get things rolling again now for our second hour. We'll start with you, Chris. And the Emmy ratings. I watched most of it, and I liked Andy Samberg, is that his name, as the host?
He was all right.
It's actually Samberg.
Samberg.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is funny.
Got away with a couple of things that I thought were a little, a little racy. But
oh, really?
Yeah, fine.
They all do. You have to at least go up close to the edge.
Well, he went over the edge a couple of times. I can't state specifics, but I know that, it isn't even past 10 o'clock yet.
No Miley Cyrus stuff?
No, there were no skin skin things, but just the comments. And
oh,
the
this
jokes.
Was network TV, wasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. It was on Fox.
Ah.
And he's a funny guy.
Well, that counts.
But did people watch?
Not nearly as many people as have in the past. Actually, this year marks the lowest ratings the Emmys have ever received in the history of the Emmys.
Well, wow. You know, I think award shows are losing their oomph anyway.
Well, they're very long and drawn out.
Yeah, and they're all so hard to inside. Hang with. You know, it's everything. It's all about me. You know, that's those guys.
Yeah. But, poor Andy Samberg. He did a great job, and they probably won't ask him back.
Well, and he is good. He's hosted a couple of other things. He's admitted in the past that stand-up comedy is not his strong suit. He did do some sketches, I think, in the beginning that turned out pretty good. But here's what you have to remember, too. They moved the Emmys from Monday night last year, which is usually a competitive night, to Sunday night this year, which this Sunday night was the NFL's Sunday Night Football.
Oh.
It was the Green Bay Packers versus the Seattle Seahawks. So
big
far,
mistake.
The highest rated football telecast, which is like 30 million viewers on primetime television. At least Monday night, it's cable television. You have to have the NFL network.
And here's the other thing. The word was out that it was so hot in Los Angeles where the Emmys happened.
Oh, they said that they were all sweating and they weren't up to par. You
right.
Know,
and all the beautiful actresses in their red carpet gowns.
Their sweaty gowns.
They're having bad hair days and they were glistening for the wrong reasons.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was unbearably hot.
Yeah. It was over 100 degrees. It was like 104 degrees that day.
Yes. Right.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Now, I watched a little bit of it after the football game was over. We watched the football game first.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It feels drawn out to me. The one thing I did notice, there was a lot of nominations for the television show American Horror Story.
Yes.
Which I've never seen, but nominated in every category, and I didn't see him win once. I started to feel bad for that television show. It was like every category they had a nomination, but some other television show.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of network television shows I don't even see anymore.
No.
I've never watched, I don't know. You know, when they start showing the promos of what's coming up, I don't even know what the hell they're talking about. To be honest with you, I don't watch many of them. Never watched How I Met Your Mother. Never watched Big Bang Theory. And those are supposed to be some of the
most
popular
They're
shows.
Funny. They're good shows.
Okay.
I catch them every now and then. Yeah, they're worth the Emmys that they've received. Now, Samberg, I don't know if he's going to take the fall for it, but, you know.
Nah, it's football.
Time will tell. Maybe he'll get another opportunity.
Maybe not.
Football done them in.
They fire the coach in every case. All right, Trump tweets. Now, Donald Trump's camp had a good idea. They wanted to be, have an open an open channel to the candidate for his fans and others who want to find out more about what he's thinking.
Oh, boy.
And they use the Twitter for that. Is that right, Chris?
Well, yes. So here's what happened. Trump just happened to be around Twitter's headquarters. Now, I don't know exactly where that's located, but they said, hey, let's get together. Come on in. We have an idea. So the idea is Trump comes in and they do a session called #AskTrump. And you can ask him any question you want on Twitter. Just put #AskTrump.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like a good idea, but it quickly went south.
Has he been on the internet in the last 4 or 5 years? Has he seen?
He's got good people who go on the internet.
What people do with hashtags?
Right. Well, Trump's smart. He's smarter than a lot of us give him credit for. He knows that this type of controversy is coming, and I think there's a part of him that welcomes it. But I'm going to give you a sampling of the types of questions he received. You can only imagine. Let's see. Number one. Can you promise us hover cars?
Hover cars.
Yeah. How about this one? If I name my band Tunnel Dump, will you play bass? All right, of course, some of them have to be kind of nasty. How much glue and prayer does it take to keep that wig so strong?
Has he not proven that it's not a wig yet? Yeah.
I saw that. He will actually pull people out of the crowd and say, come up here, you can touch it.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah. Are you secretly the greatest performance artist of all time? Thought that was a good one. Do you have any health problems we can pin our hopes on? That's kind of mean.
Oh, God.
How would you feel about replacing all cabinet members with well-trained dogs?
Not that bad.
Yeah.
There's some other ones, but they're pretty mean. Yeah, they get pretty bad after that. When you deport all immigrants, will your Slovenian wife be going too? Do you have a birth certificate to prove you're a U.S. citizen?
Oh.
Yes, the list goes on.
Okay, they're all valid questions in my view.
Of course. Well, he has a chance to form an answer. That's the other thing that's good about the internet is you could take a couple of moments and write and rewrite and delete and rewrite and delete and finally put up your appropriate answer and hope that it works.
He did end up answering 12 questions. As promised, there were questions like, will you relinquish your salary? Will you relinquish the salary if you become president? Of course, his response is, of course, I'm so rich.
I'm
very wealthy. I don't need that salary. One of the questions he answered was like, what are the Cowboys going to do without Tony Romo? He answered that one. So, yeah.
I know Tony. He's a very nice man. He's a close personal friend.
But not rich.
Speaking of wild-eyed Southern boys, did anybody watch Gary Busey on Dancing with the Stars last night?
What did we miss?
Oh, my
please.
God. It was so scary. He and this poor sweet girl, he was groping her. You couldn't believe it.
Really?
Oh, he was, oh, God.
He's a perv, too,
He makes Joe Biden look like, an angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did. They did a little dance to the Beach Boys. Wouldn't it be nice?
Oh, that's a good one to dance to.
Great song.
Nice slow jam.
Right, but they don't use the Beach Boys track. They reenact it. They play it there.
Yeah,
the band plays it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Gary's I think he's out next week.
You know what else is crazy?
What?
You go to some parts of the country and they've got some crazy laws.
Oh yeah,
they get you in trouble in a hurry if you're not paying attention, and ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
You know,
I'm told.
These weird things. Here's the thing: there are a lot of these laws about sexual predation, and sexual offenses to minors and so forth.
Right.
And they're on the books in a lot of states, but there's only one that appears to be enforcing those laws, and it's, I hate to say it, my state of my birth, North Carolina.
Oh.
So here's what's happened in North Carolina. It's a teenage boy, 17 years old. He's being prosecuted for a sex crime for having nude pictures of himself on his phone that he's never shared with anybody.
Oh,
well, that's narcissistic.
Well, I would say it is, but I don't know that narcissism is against the law.
No, it's not.
Okay, but the problem, as Phil and I were discussing earlier in prepping for the program, is that a telephone is a federally regulated item.
Yes.
Communication device.
Right. You are transmitting over an FCC-regulated device.
All right. So the state of North Carolina is now having him register as a sex offender. He has to submit to warrantless searches
Minute. Warrantless searches?
At any time.
That's unconstitutional.
Grab him, grab his phone. They can do all that. But registering as a sex offender at 17 years old, that never goes away, does it?
No, it's on your permanent record.
It never goes away. Here's another one. Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is home of Fort Bragg, and, there's a lot of weirdness going on in Fayetteville, North Carolina. A 17-year-old boy, 16-year-old girl. They share nude photos with themselves only. Boys prosecuted for a sexual exploitation of a minor.
Huh.
She's a minor. He's a minor. Age of consent in North Carolina is 16. So.
Yeah.
Where's the wackiness start and where does it end? So they of course found these kids' photos in the course of another investigation. So they basically stumbled on him, and then he bears the brunt of this prosecution. So.
You can get into a lot of trouble in a hurry just being a teenager.
Pretty much done in North Carolina.
Yeah. All right. Up next, how kinky is Faith Hill anyway?
I hope so.
Right here, proof in my hand. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything.
When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends at it.com, and you're at our website. Cruise around, check out a couple of things, two or three, four maybe, and tell your friends. And don't forget, subscribe. You should do that. By the way, we were talking about weird laws. Did you know that in Indiana it's illegal to catch fish using any of the following items? Dynamite, guns, a crossbow, or your bare hands.
Oh, dynamite.
If you're, you know, you're lost in the Indiana outback and you see a stream or a brook or a creek.
Right.
Or is it a creek?
A creek.
Yeah. And you're starving to death. You've got nothing on you except, you know, you're naked and afraid.
Yeah.
And you go over to the creek and you see some fish floating around and you reach in there and you grab one and you bite its head off.
That's right.
Now you are a criminal.
Well, right, and when they rescue you, when they finally rescue you, they say, "How'd you catch that fish, boy?"
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Finally, you rescued me.
Thank you.
Jail. And the cuffs go on.
He jumped out of the creek. I swear.
I like dynamite, though. You gotta. Yeah. That'll work.
Oh, that's that used and a bottle of malathion right into the water. That'll bring him up in a hurry. Faith Hill, you know who she is.
Sure.
Yeah, gorgeous. Good always been gorgeous.
Good, married to Tim McGraw, country singer.
Good singer. She turned 48 yesterday.
What?
It's holding together well.
She's in my window.
So Taste of Country did 10 facts you won't believe about her, and here are some of the highlights. When she was a kid, she'd sing Amazing Grace for prisoners at a county jail, Hinds County Jail, which was located near her school. Sometimes she'd go over there and do Bible readings.
So there was some pretty good Yelp reviews on that one.
Yeah. She used to work at McDonald's and once described the experience as, quote, fries, burgers, cash register, I did it all, I hated it.
Wow. Yeah. She doesn't look like she ever ate a burger to me.
No, maybe not. But she had to have snuck a couple of fries into a chocolate shake, don't you think?
Yep.
All right.
Stuck them back to the trailer.
Her 41st birthday present to herself was to get fit and pose for the cover of Shape magazine in a bikini.
Oh, I saw that.
Well, that was a present for all of us also, wasn't it?
She's a giving person. She really is.
Yeah.
She auditioned to be in Reba McEntire's band, but lost out to a woman named Paula Kay Evans. Tragically, Paula was one of Reba's 8 crew members who were killed in a plane crash back in 1991.
Oh, you had to go there with it?
Yeah. I thought you say Paula Dean should have been on
great story there for a second.
So you see, there's really nothing kinky about Faith Hill. I say, how kinky is she? Not at all.
All-American girl.
That's the answer to
you
the question.
You know what they call that? That's a radio tease, Phil.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, here, you know the alien drool in the movie? Aliens.
Oh,
you know,
God, yeah. Coming? Oh, yeah.
You know what they used, the special effects geniuses
Please,
over there?
No.
CGI? You think they used any of that? No. The alien drool was KY jelly.
Oh, that stuff will drool.
Yeah.
God, Phil, where did you find that?
Drool was, it was acidic,
too. That's according to...
So that stuff was drooling all over Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, she was covered in KY. Sigourney.
Oh.
Covered in KY.
I'm glad they didn't find out about that on Saturday Night Live, because she would have caught hell for that. You know?
Yeah. You know who I thought might have caught hell is a world famous, perhaps one of the best hockey players ever, Jaromir Jagr. Yeah. He's gone viral on the internet. Everybody's looking at a picture of him taking a nap. Is that what he's doing, Chris?
Yeah, he's sleeping. He's sleeping, all right. Say his name again, Jaromir Jagr.
Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, he's the 43 years old. He's still playing hockey.
Hey, because he's still good.
It's one of those sports.
And he'd have numbers that would rival the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Sure.
Had he stayed in the NHL all of his career, he played in Czech Republic for 3 or 4 seasons because they offered him more money.
Right.
Well,
he played for both the Kings and the Ducks, didn't he?
No. Yager? No. He played for the Kings briefly.
Oh, he played for the Penguins.
Yes. He was on the Penguins, but he's played for a number of teams now. He's a free agent. Whoever will offer him the most money, he'll play for them. And he'll compete, and he'll make an impact. But anyway, he was doing more than taking a nap, you say?
He was, yes. You'll see pictures of him on Twitter, social media, all those different outlets. He's sleeping in bed, and there's a very attractive young Czech model taking the picture. She's taking what most of us call a selfie, making sure to capture both of them in the picture, in bed, half or if not completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided that she was going to blackmail him with that picture.
Yeah.
She said, hey, I'll tell you what, you give me $2,000.
That's it?
Yeah, I know, right? Uh-huh. A professional athlete. $2,000, I won't leak this picture onto social media and ruin your reputation. And he said, what are you talking about? I'm single.
Yeah.
I'm a hockey player.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead, release it. So the picture goes out, and the whole thing totally backfires on her, right?
Yep.
All of everybody in the Twitterverse, it turns on her, calls her hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey ho.
Yeah. There you go.
Puck bunny.
Yep. And also, she's apparently dating Dominique Rudel. Dominique Rudel.
Another hockey player.
Right. Dating him right now. So the picture gets released. Now she has to explain that to him, which all just goes to show, don't blackmail each other. It's always going to end poorly, unless you're really good at it. She was obviously not.
Yeah, she didn't learn anything from that, you know, that bozo chick that sued Donald Sterling. She went after some big cash.
Yeah.
Right? And then had it all taken from her.
Right. So, anyway, $2,000.
Another perspective, too. The other hockey player who the gal is dating will probably feel a certain amount of pride that he's dating a girl who slept with Jaromir Jagr because he's one of the greatest hockey players ever. And
somehow
so,
that
you know,
it rubs off on you.
Yes, exactly.
By the way... let me look at his name. Jaromir.
Yeah.
Jaromir is her boyfriend's idol. It's her hockey. Hockey idol. Yeah.
So when they kiss now, he's going to think in the back of his mind, getting a little a taste of Jaromir.
Ooh. That is taking
in a way
too far.
Yeah. You remember that thing that the aliens were drooling? Never mind. Not.
18 years old, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but well, it'll be young to be
18?
Starting the blackmail career.
Oh, man.
Mm.
She was going to pay for college, don't you think? 2000.
For what, a quarter?
Yeah. I don't know.
Semester?
It's not Long Beach State anymore.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, we have very, very sad news in the literary world, don't we, Ted?
Oh, yeah. Jackie Collins, who wrote... what do you call them? I call it, it's not Pulp Fiction, but
no,
you know, they're romantic novels, right?
It's porn.
It's porn. It's porn for middle-aged women.
But it's very popular. She sells huge numbers of books.
And she was Joan Collins' sister, and evidently the talent all fell in her lap with the DNA.
Yeah, right.
Joan, I don't know.
Yeah.
Jackie Collins passed away this week. Yeah. Unfortunately, don't know the details of her demise, but... She was around a long time, sold a lot of books, had a good life. She was on The View a lot. I guess that was a big thing for her.
Yeah, and interesting lady.
She wrote those books where, like, on the cover there's a shirtless guy riding a white horse.
Yeah,
is that what we're talking about?
That kind of thing.
Yeah, and she contributed to popular culture in many ways.
Some of them obviously were made into movies. Am I right about that?
Oh, of course, yes.
I can't remember.
I can't tell you which ones.
Me either.
But the fact remains that she's gone. And Pam Anderson is still around.
Pam Anderson was also on The View yesterday, and as I understand it, she's promoting something. She was on Howard this morning. She's doing something. Obviously, Pam doesn't show up on television unless, you know, she's got something to sell.
Yeah.
So the conversation on The View yesterday was mothers who want to allow their children to use medical marijuana. Evidently, Pam is one of those.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure what the difficulty would be with one of her sons. She has two.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, there's old Pam.
Yeah?
You know, she's a hemp chick.
And she's what? Is she 50 now?
I don't think she's quite 50. You know, I've seen her, you know, up in the neighborhood, you know, up in the hood.
Yeah.
And it was about 6 months ago, but she looks fantastic. She's
Does she?
Just, yeah, she's real sweet, you know, so.
Huh.
I mean, you know.
Do you go into the grocery store together?
No. I saw her in the grocery store in the Kid Rock days.
Oh.
With Kid Rock. He was in his wife beater, and Pam was in, you
But
know,
you had that to compare to
sure.
a more recent
sighting. There you go. And, yeah, that's right. So, yeah. The kid wasn't too happy to be, you know, cruising around Ralph's pushing a basket.
Pam Anderson sighting.
Yeah. The sighting.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right, I've got more useless information here. the original design for the Space Needle in Seattle.
No clue.
Ever been to the Space Needle?
Yes.
Yeah, I've gone up to the top. It's worth going up there, and then you wait for the sunset, and you realize, oh, you know, if you're from Southern California, you go up there, okay, we're going to go up around 6:30, 7 o'clock, we'll see the sunset. What you don't know is that the sun sets at about 10 o'clock in Seattle, and so you're stuck up there forever.
Or it rotates, does it not? Doesn't that room up there rotate?
Yeah, it does. You don't feel it necessarily.
Okay, why did they build it? You know that?
No. Oh, for the World's Fair.
It was for the 1960 World's Fair.
Yes, I knew that.
Correct.
All right, but the original design for the Space Needle, it looked like a big balloon floating up from the ground. Eventually, it evolved into the final design, and the balloon became a flying saucer.
All right.
And that's what it is. It's a big flying saucer
cool.
up 60, there on the needle.
Get it? What was going on at the time? You know,
sure.
The Mercury astronauts, all that stuff.
Yeah.
JFK
had
said, we're going to the moon, we're coming back.
Mm-hmm. And there were all kinds of UFO scares.
Right.
Movies about UFOs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you know how many people die each year in America as a result of medical mistakes?
In America.
Take a guess. Yeah, have any idea?
Right now?
All right. Well, the answer to the question, and it's every year, the answer to the question... And a healthcare professional who will shock you with more facts about medical mistakes and maybe scare you out of having that elective surgery at your local hospital will join us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Back, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and joining us live is a doctor who's been speaking out about medical mistakes since a defining and tragic moment in her life. Dr. Carol Gunn is here. Welcome, Dr. Gunn.
Thank you.
So let's start with that. What was it that happened in your life to get you involved in this topic?
Well, I always knew about medical errors, but in May of 2014, my older sister died due to a preventable medical mistake at a well-respected teaching hospital.
Hmm.
That changed my life forever.
Okay. And was it just a routine surgery that was going on?
No, it wasn't even a surgery. She had had her health issues, but she'd been complaining about chest pains. Hmm. And they first suggested antacids and then said one of her other medicines was treating it. She was admitted to the hospital for a whole nother reason. Had chest pains, but no one evaluated it.
Hmm.
She had been in the hospital almost 2 weeks before a cardiologist saw her.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Goodness. We want to answer the question, how many people indeed do die each year as a result of medical mistakes?
Well, the studies show the exact number is not really easy to identify, but a 2013 study showed between 200,000 and 400,000
Americans
each year.
And that's got to rank up there versus some of the most deadly diseases and other things that people do to themselves that kill them.
You're right. It's the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer.
Oh.
It's medical mistakes. And there was a new study actually released today on delays in diagnosis that says that almost all of us will suffer a delay in diagnosis that will be significant in our own lifetimes. Mm. Every single American.
Now, a delay in diagnosis, you make a leap to call that a mistake, right? Because very often there's protocol and paperwork and all of that, and it's not getting any easier for doctors and hospitals to follow that protocol, and it might put some delay into the process. Is that really a mistake?
I think it is. I mean, for her, you know, you tell most people on the street, I've got chest pain, they say, go to the ER.
Yeah, true.
She was saying, I've got chest pain, and she had it for 12 days in the hospital before she saw a cardiologist.
Yeah, and they said, take an antacid, or whatever it is you're taking as
well. They had her on narcotics then. They said, oh, let us just treat your pain. But no one bothered to do a little more in-depth evaluation of why does she have this chest pain.
So what needs to happen then to lower that annual number?
Well, there's several things. It's a complex problem, so I don't want to really even say that it's just one or two things. But the culture of healthcare doesn't really support the discussion even of mistakes yet. It's only starting to. I went back and asked each of her physicians that I knew that had treated her and said, what happened here? Huh. And people were surprised that I would do that. This new report that came out today said, this is what we need to happen, is people need to pick up the phone and if they see something in someone's medical record and said, you know, you missed it. Because if you don't know you've made a mistake, yeah, how are you going to fix it?
Yeah, and you say it's complex, and that is true, because you have hospitals, you have doctors, you have patients. Something goes wrong in a hospital, the surviving family may or may not want to pursue it because that's the hospital they'll be going to as well. And you get this thought in the back of your head, okay, there's bad blood between me and this hospital or that doctor, and God forbid I need their services again in the near future. And so people are less likely to speak up about something, aren't they?
I think so. And I, even though when we were, you know, after her heart attack and it was identified she was having heart issues, it felt like we were, that the nurses weren't happy with us, that we were raising too many questions. Hmm. And so I can see where that might happen. Right. The other thing is sometimes you don't even know what's going on. I mean, I'm a physician, and it took until I read all of her medical records to actually piece it all together, what actually happened in her care.
Yeah. So the doctors and hospitals gotta love when you come around these days, right?
Well, I agree. They're not always so happy, but in the end, they really should be. Because if they can stop some of these errors from happening, everybody wins.
Yeah.
It's less expensive care. The patient gets to go home. Right. And the families are happier. I mean, what more can we get from there?
Yeah, there are so many processes in place and procedures in place. And doctors are human. They make mistakes. They're bound to happen. But you want to minimize those best as possible. But our hospitals in a position to make changes, or are they these huge, immovable Goliaths that, any amount of change might take years?
You know, I think it depends on the hospital. And I actually think it depends on the top of the food chain, the CEOs, and what they expect. I do think it's probably easier to make widespread changes in the smaller hospitals. But I think it can be done in the bigger ones, too. But it's much slower, like you said.
Yeah. Now, the hospitals, I imagine, would take issue with that study that you pointed out at the beginning of our conversation that indicates 200,000 to 300,000 people die each year due to medical mistakes. I would imagine the hospitals in their own investigation might have a different interpretation of what actually happened.
Actually, that is a pretty accepted figure. Initially, way back in 1999, when the Institute of Medicine released its first report, doctors and hospitals poo-pooed it, and they were estimating about 80,000 deaths per year.
Mm-hmm.
That number, the 200 to 400,000, has now been pretty much accepted. Jeez. People have testified before Congress, so I really do think that number is a pretty solid number.
Are there any organizations of note, at least that you'd like to tell us about, that are making changes that you believe are good?
Oh, there are a lot that are focused on it. So I think there's little parts moving everywhere, but we don't have a collective organization that's collecting all of them. But I'm aware of a patient safety movement where organizations commit to make changes in either their technology or their electronic medical records to improve care. So we've got a lot of people working on this as an issue, but it's a lot of little pockets of people, and we probably have not made the strides that we need to make to help most of the people right now.
Okay. And do you like people to go to a particular website where they can get more information about this?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I am doing is getting people to share their stories, and I've just started doing it. It's very cathartic for me to share Anna's story, and I know I've received a lot of stories recently, and so I have a website where people can do that, and that is at www.carolgunn, my first name is Carol, my last name is Gunn, G-U-N-N, MD.com. So it's www.carolgunnmd.com.
All right, two N's in Gunn, and
yes,
one R and one L in Carol.
That's right.
All right. Very good. We'll put that up on our links page and direct people to it. And thank you so much for spending some time with us, Dr. Carol Gunn.
Thank you.
All right. you're welcome. There she goes. And so, gosh,
I wonder what about what over are the are hospitals overcrowded? I mean, I just have.
Well, I think there's certain times of the week when perhaps the staff is lower, maybe around holidays.
You know, wonder like area to area. You know, I just wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's mind-blowing.
It seems to me, though, that a lot of times the organization is more about how they can do things efficiently under the context of, you know, today's medicine.
Sure.
And how they could save a buck here and there. And the way they treat is different. And it, some of it is mandated, the way treatment is put down.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, that's another discussion.
Half million people, almost. Yeah. Good Lord.
Right.
It's just hard to believe.
All right. Pan Pan, Donkey Kong, and Fozzie.
Yeah.
Which one's a Muppet? we're going to play a game on the program next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. It's bad etiquette to eat a hot dog in more than five bites.
Come on.
At least according to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, whom we have a representative on the program frequently, a couple times a year.
So that guy that wins the Nathan's contest every year, he probably does it in two, right?
Yeah, probably two bites.
Yeah, so that's good etiquette.
Very good etiquette.
Chomp, chomp, swallow, swish with some water or milk or whatever it is. Then chomp, chomp, swallow, swish. He's got a whole thing down. And just get it going.
Where does that go?
Bad etiquette to eat a hot dog in more than five bites.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever committed bad hot dog etiquette.
Me neither, but I think the fifth bite is the one where you push it all the way in with your finger, right?
Sure.
So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the final bite if you're eating normally.
Mm-hmm. It's all right.
If you're starving, though.
Who is Pan Pan?
Who is Pan Pan? I know. Hang on.
He's a cook at McDonald's.
He's the kid that can fly, goes to Neverland.
No.
Oh, yeah. There's a movie coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
It's not who.
No, Pan-Pan. Pan-Pan is the world's oldest giant male panda, and by oldest, he just turned 30 years old.
That's an old panda.
That is pretty old for bears generally, right?
Sure. Yeah, you know, 30 years in panda years is equivalent to 100 human years.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, wow, and this guy's still functioning?
Yeah, he's still hanging in there. He looks good. He lives in China at the Giant Panda Protection and Research Center, and he was given a giant ice cake to celebrate his 30th birthday.
That's what's going
to
kill him.
It's like this three-layer cake made of ice. It's an all-solid block of ice with some icing around the outside.
They like the ice, huh?
I think they just lick it.
Oh,
they lick it. They scratch it.
There's a great video out there of cats licking ice balls. If you like cats, it's a Japanese video. The guy puts water in a water balloon, freezes it, and then sticks it in a pie pan, a cake pan.
This was on Facebook, wasn't it?
No, it was on Facebook, but it's on YouTube. You could just search it, and then the cats, they just lick this ball and it starts spinning, and they start playing with it, and they keep licking it, and eventually it turns into a teacup, and they you could just watch cats do stuff
cat
for
videos,
hours, right?
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
I'm writing that one.
So the Pan-Pan likes the ice as well.
He likes the ice. Everybody likes the fact that he's still kicking. Pan-Pan has fathered over 130 panda bear cubs.
There you go.
That's more than one per panda year.
He is, takes the cake, so to speak, when it comes to fathering children.
Productive panda.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Fine.
There you go.
He's quite an animal. You know, they look like big puppets, don't they, those panda bears?
But don't they like it cold? I mean, they sleep in the cold?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I see. I thought, you know,
No, I'm sorry.
I thought we were still on the fathering, the sire, the
children. No. Ouch.
Like it cold. So, yeah, I'm just saying that. I'm saying those pandas, they don't look real. They look like big puppets to me. Like there's a, or like there's a little guy,
they're
little
actually
guy
cute.
In a suit, you know.
I
like
see where you're going with this.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big show on TV coming up on ABC.
So it's my turn.
that's a throw.
Lost.
Keep up.
That's
I
a toss.
Lost.
Try
you
to keep up.
Drop
there,
that one, Stonehands.
More coffee. Tonight, Muppets back on network television.
Those are forms of puppets, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And you know, I
do
think
they have one that's a panda.
I haven't the slightest idea. I don't even know. I know two of them. I know Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Oh.
I don't know the new girlfriend's
name.
And
they're broken up.
He has a new girlfriend? Kermit does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a younger, hotter pig.
Really?
That's correct.
That's where they're going with this, huh?
So seriously, when do you think the Muppets first went on TV?
Oh, it had to be in the 70s.
It was 76.
Okay.
I think they had their own show. I think they existed before then, but Jim Henson was like cruising around doing guest slots and stuff.
Because he was the creepy puppet guy in the 60s.
He was one of those weird guys in the theater department.
Yeah.
Right. I have puppets. You want to see them? Yeah. You know, that kind of guy.
Get out of here, freako.
So they've won
freak face
21 Emmys over the years. They were on Sesame Street, too.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing.
Sure.
So the first Muppet movie, what year?
80.
79, you're close.
All right.
We'll give it to you. And what was the hit record that came from that soundtrack that we all
Kermit sings it.
Kermit sings it. No, that's Easy Being Green. It's not Easy Being Green.
Oh.
Is that called Rainbow Connection?
Rainbow Connection? Oh, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Or was that the name of the movie?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, see.
I'm not a...
Lost me on that one, too. But it's on ABC tonight. It's going to be a reality-style format, sort of like Modern Family.
All right, so Shirley Sal, cool. or whatever this pig gal is that Kermit's going for. I mean, he's got to be in frog years. He's got to be 150.
Sure, but he doesn't age. He doesn't show his age.
Right.
And tonight's episode is called Pig Girls Don't Cry. I got a quiz for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Chris, you're up first.
Okay, let's do this.
Is it a Muppet or a puppet? Ready?
Shoot.
Dr. Teeth.
Dr. Teeth? I'm going to say puppet.
Incorrect.
Ah, jeez, right really? Out of the gate.
Dr. Teeth is a Muppet?
Ofer.
Phil, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Popo Gigio.
Oh, that's a puppet.
Ah,
okay. Come on, that's a back.
All right,
going way back to the Ed Sullivan days.
One to nothing. Let's keep score here.
Okay, yeah. So, all right, how about Waldorf?
Oh, who's the other question?
That's to me. Waldorf?
Yeah.
Good.
I know that one.
I'm going to say puppet.
No. Incorrect.
Dang, that. I'm 0-for 2.
All right. Here's one. Jalapeno on a stick.
No, come on.
No, that's right. I know that one. Phil,
okay,
go ahead.
I'm going to say puppet.
You are correct. What's his name?
Jeff Dunham.
There you go. Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham.
Dunham.
Okay, back to Chris.
Yeah.
Ready for the, is it a tiebreaker?
No, Phil's killing me.
Okay.
We're going to have to play best out of 10 the way we're going.
How about Statler?
Statler? I'm going to say Muppet just because...
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, cool.
Okay, you're back on the board.
Yeah, all right.
All right, back to Phil.
Yeah.
Bungles the Clown.
Oh, that's a puppet.
Okay.
It's not a Muppet.
Well,
all right.
This is a runaway now.
Not a Muppet.
Sorry. All right, back to Chris. Sarah Wong.
Sarah Wong?
Yeah.
Come on, puppet.
Okay, correct.
All right, look at that.
She's a hot Asian chick from Team America.
Oh, that's right. I remember her. Yeah.
Remember that one?
Sure.
All right, one more each, and then we wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay. If Phil misses them both and I win one, then...
Yeah.
Oh, misses
okay,
them both.
Okay. Knish.
Knish.
Go ahead, Phil. You know who that is?
I have no idea. Wild guess? Muppet.
No, incorrect, sir. It is a puppet from a 1950s local television
show.
The
door
show
is open.
Yeah, I can tie you if I get this one right.
Okay, here we go. Back to Chris for Waldorf.
Waldorf? Didn't you already say that
one? He did Waldorf already.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Give me one like Howdy Doody or
something.
Come
on, Grandpa.
Well, Howdy Doody's already on. I even know that one. All right, how about Lamb Chop?
Lamb Chop's a puppet.
All right, there you go.
That's it. We're tied. You got to give us a tiebreaker.
All right, one tiebreaker each. Here we go.
Or just one. Let's see if one of us is capable of getting it. Lamb Chop's play along. Okay. It's a song that never ends, too.
All right, how about Lisa Jones? No, it's Spotswood.
Spotswood?
Never even heard of it. Phil, go ahead.
Spotswood is a Muppet.
Incorrect, sir.
Oh. Chris wins. Oh, yeah.
Spotswood is from Team America.
Champion.
Oh, gosh. Another.
There you go. Another Team America. Is that it? We're all done?
That's it. All right. So as a palate cleanser, careful what you order at the bar. A girl in England had to have her stomach not pumped, but removed.
Hello.
After a bar served her a drink with liquid nitrogen in it.
Now, somebody was not thinking. That's like 000 degrees.
Yeah, but see, they've got these ice cream shops where they use the liquid nitrogen. They put the cream and the sugar and all that stuff, and they infuse it with liquid nitrogen, and they create the ice cream right there, and then they hand it to you. And I'm thinking, wow. You know, just like when you cook some pizza in the microwave, you need to wait a few minutes because it's still cooking. If you eat it too soon, it's cooking in your belly. But I wonder about the liquid nitrogen. And they made a drink out of it, and they said, here you go.
Here, honey.
And she just down the gullet. Maybe she was, you know, a shooter's kind of girl.
She was British?
Yeah, English girl. And she's dead. What are you laughing about? No, she's not dead. She has no stomach.
Those chicks can drink.
She might as well be dead. She can't eat anymore. Where's she going to put her food?
She's going to have to do injectors.
Exactly. Let's get the doctor back on. Where do you put your food if you have your stomach removed?
Mm. Or how would you like to become one of the 400,000, young lady? Here, take this shot of nitrogen.
Or is that a blessing? Can you eat anything you want?
God. I don't know. That's crazy. I bet she can eat a hot dog in one fell swoop.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's something that's purely bogus. According to a stupid survey by Yahoo, iPhone users are more likely to like dogs, classical music, white wine, and Superman. Okay, so iPhone, Superman.
That's me.
While Android users are more likely to like cats, hip-hop, Star Trek, and Batman. So Android, Batman, iPhone, Superman.
Well, I'm iPhone, and I'm a Batman guy, and I have a dog.
Yeah?
So I'm 50% correct, according to that survey.
And I'm an Android guy, and yeah, I like Batman better than Superman.
And I like red wine and white wine, so yeah. It must be bogus.
Hmm.
But I don't like hip-hop all that much.
I don't like white wine.
Yeah?
No?
A hot dog
Chardonnay?
With red wine.
Here's a bogus survey. What do you think?
Yeah.
I agree.
All right.
You just got trolled.
What's the record for Donkey Kong, Chris? Quick.
The record for Donkey Kong is 1,172,100 points.
Is that a new record?
It is a new record.
It's
yes.
Nuts.
It tops the old record of whatever it was, 1,158,000. The interesting thing is it was broken twice in one day. These guys are sitting around playing the original arcade game of Donkey Kong. You have to go for 4 hours straight to get to that many points.
4 hours straight?
Yeah, without fail, too. You know, how many times do you have to try before you even get on that four-hour run to possibly break the record?
Yeah, and King Kong's trying to kill you, right, with those barrels and those other things that he tosses
right.
at you?
You climb ladders, climb ropes, jump platforms, and King Kong's throwing barrels at you the whole time.
And bananas.
Stressful, stressful career.
It is.
It's not easy.
Hey, we love your comments. It is easy to do. Just click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at Faf Show, PHAF. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Like us. We're on iTunes. We're everywhere where podcasts are. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who I'm pretty sure forgot to show up once again today.
I got it.
For Chris Martin, for Ted Pritchard, I'm Phil Hewlett.
Yeah.
And for all of the friends, can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.